and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
CBS News Brief. The First in the Nation caucus will be held tonight in Iowa, and despite the frigid cold temperatures, voters say they're ready.
It's exciting. I mean, it's cool that we get to make our voice and that people put a lot of interest into Iowa.
Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, and Vivek Ramaswamy have been stumping statewide for support to gain some ground on former President Trump. He's leading every major poll there. Much of the country is feeling the freeze, though. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams.
Below average temperatures will stay in place at least through Wednesday for over 200 million of us. For voters today in Iowa, highs won't get above zero, and our wind chills could be as low as 35 below at times, which could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 10 minutes.
Thousands of people had to evacuate a town in Iceland again following a second volcanic eruption.
The worst case scenario just happened, and that's what we're dealing with.
Experts there say small earthquakes triggered it. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. The Iowa caucuses are tonight, the first step to the Republican Party convention in Milwaukee this summer. Former U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he won't be there if Donald Trump is the nominee. Donald Trump Jr. says that's fine with him.
He's the rhino that the America First movement despises. So if he doesn't show up to the convention in Milwaukee, no one gives a damn.
Trump speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. With the bitterly cold temperatures, the following warming stations are open in Wood County during normal business hours. These include McMillan Memorial Library, Everett Rail Marshfield Public Library, Oak Avenue Community Center in Marshfield, Charles and Joanne Lester Library in Nakusa, and the Pittsville Community Library. In Wisconsin Rapids, Dewey Street between Lincoln and Hill Streets will be closed to through traffic for a sanitary lateral repair by city crews. Traffic will be detoured starting at 9 a.m. on Tuesday, January 16th on Lincoln Street, Chestnut Street, and Hill Street. Dewey Street is expected to reopen by 4 p.m. on Tuesday. The Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday today will not affect the city's garbage and recycling schedule. Garbage and recycling will be picked up at their usual time this week. Remember that Christmas tree pickup is scheduled for next week, January 22nd through the 26th. Trees must be free of all decorations and placed on the curb by Monday next week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. I have your host, James J. I am joined by Randy Paul.
Haven't stopped smiling in about the last 22 hours or so.
I thought, the sun came out. That's really great. No, that was Randy walking into the building. Just a beaming bright light right now, as many of you Green Bay fans, I imagine, are. That is probably where we're going to kick things off with our show today. But remember, it's a call-in show. Your participation is required. 424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation. Love to hear from all of our listeners out there. Randy, I want to get into a couple things with you today. I want to talk about the playoffs, of course. The upcoming games, we've got the schedule for that. At 3:30, we'll have the fourth period. Coach and GM of Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, will join us. Looking forward to that. If we have time, I would love to be able to touch on the Brewers. They made some good decisions and interesting decisions I'd like to hear from everybody else about. Speaking of baseball and hot stove, we'll talk a little rafters before we wrap up today and get our high school update from you as well. Looking forward to that. But we have to start with Green Bay. We have to. We have to start with the smallest franchise in all of professional sports. Last week, I got some heat from some of my listeners in Chicago and some friends of ours, and, both of us, and some relatives of mine, because I said all of these great things and wonderful things about the Green Bay Packer organization. And I would like to start our show with doubling down, like a lot of our politicians nowadays, and only backing that even more. I would like to give you the evidence of this weekend to just go with what everything I said last week. I want to start there. I want to start, of course, where we like to with our listeners. Let's go ahead and hear from you. Well, how was your weekend, sir?
Oh, you have to ask.
No, it's just a polite thing to do. It's.
I mean, you got Badger hockey. They don't get. Even though they tied on Saturday night, but they still got their winning streak going. You got Badger basketball. They moved up to 11 today. You know, then you got Green Bay, you know, winning. You know, it wasn't like a close game. You know, the score, you could wait to have score out because, you know, it was like a quarter and a half that they played, that Dallas played against our second stringers.
Do you know that the score with 5 minutes and 55 seconds was? Left in the game?
Yeah, 48-17 or 16 or something like that.
48-16 with 5:55 to go.
Yeah. It was just pure domination on Green Bay part. And all. And everybody, when I was at church yesterday, I was like, well, what do the Badgers have or the Packers have to do to win the game? I said, they just have to play smart football. Don't make the dumb mistakes. And maybe get a turnover or two, and then you have a chance to win. Wow, I never expected what they did yesterday. That was just like, you know, shell-shocked, you know, and then if you listen to the talking heads, it's, you know, they were saying that all the media down in Dallas were saying that these guys were looking past them. The Packers looking at playing an NFC championship game.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the comments I heard that gave us a little bit of a hope that you didn't hear a whole lot about was they said Dallas secondary wasn't the greatest, and I think we kind of proved that yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, I know we're going in against a different
monster,
stronger opponent, but especially defensive wise.
Right.
But I mean, if the Packers play like they did yesterday, there's a chance. I mean, if I had $500 to put down on betting this weekend, I would probably put $450 on San Francisco, maybe put $50 on the mm-hmm. Packers. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, they're playing with house money. I mean,
right.
They're just
it's
awesome.
I lost a bet with myself. I really did think that Coach McCarthy would be just Mike McCarthy, no longer coach, just Mike McCarthy, by the time playmakers started today. I would like to send a personal apology to Jerry Jones. I apologize. You have more patience than I thought, sir. I really thought for sure that would have happened by now. The fact that it hasn't.
It's not done yet. The day's not done.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And as we've seen in the last week or so, what used to be Black Monday is now more like just Black Month. It's just a dark month for coaches where if you're on the fence, if you're, you know, one of these guys, even if your team makes the playoffs, you better be renting. You better not be owning that house. Yeah, I hope you're renting that home that you live in. That's surprising to me a little bit. I say that more jokingly than anything. Randy did have a fun stat when he came in today that about the Packers at AT&T Stadium.
They've actually won more playoff games at AT&T Stadium than the Cowboys have.
Stat of the day.
They've won 3, the Cowboys have won 2.
Wow.
I have one real strong question for the audience today, because I, being honest with everybody, I didn't get to see any football this weekend. I had car troubles, had some other troubles in the home, so just wasn't able to focus on sports. But I did talk to a number of people that did watch the game, and certainly people that actually know what they're talking about better than I do. And they said very similar thing that you did, sir, about the game and the flow of the game. That Green Bay was in control from the first snap of the game throughout the whole thing, and on all three facets of the game. So the national media is going to spend the whole next week, whatever happens with McCarthy, talking about the Dallas. So I don't want to do that here. Although I think that it is pretty low-hanging fruit, and it'd be pretty easy to. And I don't know how, I say it jokingly, I don't know how McCarthy got that job to begin with, let alone how he keeps it. In your first press conference with your boss right there, you admit you lied to him. Like, how do you, how is that a great place to start a relationship? I don't understand that. That just right there. And I think there's another thing of this too. And I believe that we already have the answer to this, but I am still curious as somebody who loves a team, loves two teams that is in a similar situation with Jerry Reinsdorf. Jerry Reinsdorf wants to win another title more than anything. So with the cut, with the White Sox, with the Bulls, I'm paying close attention to, is he desperate? Is he going to do things that are desperate moves? Or is he just going to kind of let people that he hired do their job? Jerry Jones is in a very similar situation. He wants that title, not just wants that title, he wants a Jerry Jones title. That's what I want to see. Does he want a Jerry Jones title or does he want a Dallas Cowboys title? Because if it's about Jerry Jones, the next hire, well, they'll either keep McCarthy or the next hire will be another puppet. Will just be another puppet. You're not going to see a Bill Parcells type come in there. You're going to see another puppet come in. So that's how we're going to find out if he really wants to win a title or not, or if he wants to win a Jerry Jones Super Bowl.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think they said yesterday, being 81 years old, how much patience is he going to have?
Yeah.
And so you were talking earlier that maybe why hasn't somebody else signed already, a Belichick? Well, you got choices, right? You got Harbaugh, you got Belichick, you got Vrabel.
You can make the argument you've never had better choices in coaching. Like, just Belichick sitting out there alone, let alone all the other candidates that there are. But if you're a head coach, now is not the time to be looking for work because there are some pretty high competition out there for you. So that's all the Dallas story, and if anybody wants to talk about that, we can talk about that. I want to talk about Jordan Love, Mike LaFleur, and the Green Bay Packers. And that may be the only time I ever say that on the air, but I really do, because this is impressive. And how often do you have this where you go into a playoff game as a fan, and as the caller said, you're playing with house money. If they lost that game, I don't care if the score was reversed. All right, that sucks. You know, it's rough. But, how many billion of things are we going to be talking about today? Jordan Love did this right, and it's a learning experience. You need the playoff experience before you can win, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that you won, let alone won convincingly in all three facets of the game, let alone your young quarterback, who it, by all rights is pretty much a rookie still, went out there and played better with more ice water in his veins than the guy on the other side with the star in his helmet that's got all the money. That's interesting. That's pretty wild.
Somebody had a great meme today. They said it's not a logo, it's a rating, one star rating.
That's good.
You know, and you know, then you get that. You know, you get the all the memes about the word of the day, Dallas. That'll be Dallas's last game or whatever it is. Like, yeah. The last game, Dallas game for the boys or whatever. But Jordan Love. I mean, he looked like a seasoned vet out there. I mean, he looked calm. Nothing really rattled him. He took a couple hits from them, but I mean, he just bounced right back up and got, dusted himself off and went right back at it. I have no idea what sparked the Packers here, what got the offense going.
But over the last couple of weeks, those wide receivers have not just been running patterns, and they've been wide open.
Yeah.
That one.
You know, they're sitting down in those zones.
Yeah, that one to Musgrave, I was reading a little bit about that one. The play before, they were going to run that play, and
Aaron Jones, or running back?
Love didn't like the call.
Oh, okay.
He didn't like the setup for it, so he instead gave it to Aaron Jones, who ran for 27 yards. And then he looks over at McCarthy and he goes like, now let's run the play. And then they got the touchdown.
Yeah, right.
So they were talking a little bit about how much LaFleur actually trusted Love. And I think that's kind of what happened here in about the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's just kind of been putting people in the right positions. You see him killing plays at the line of scrimmage and still managing the clock, right? We haven't had to take a whole lot of timeouts because the play clock was running out either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been... it's been fun to watch, and I was, I'm a diehard Packer fan, but back earlier in the season, I was like, why am I wasting my time? Why am I wasting my time on Sunday to watch these guys? I mean, they were showing like they had no effort.
Yeah.
And like I said, what clicked? I mean, what all of a sudden, that made these guys understand that, this is a football season.
It's so,
granted, it took until probably week 14 for them to do it, but
The fact that it turned around at all, this doesn't usually go this direction. It only flows one direction. You lose a locker room or there's division in the locker room. Very rarely do you hear of that team winning, let alone winning in the playoffs.
I was really concerned about that when Devondre Campbell came out with that and said, I'm not going to play hurt anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, the locker room's going to get lost here and it's going to fall apart. And after that.
Well, and that was before the Jair Alexander knuckleheadedness.
Yes,
where like he's just walking out there like he doesn't. I mean, a guy doesn't do that at that age with that much NFL experience if he doesn't feel like, well, I can do this because there's not going to be any retaliation. Right. Like that's not a locker room. That's not a well-run locker room. And all of that's going on. If you told me they'd have a playoff win on the road after all of that noise, there's no way I'd believe you. There's no way. Let alone this young team. That's an impressive win by that coaching staff and that team.
And people were actually kind of down on the Packers for like suspending them for that one game. Mm. And they're like, well, why don't you just suspend them, you know, that game right away or keep them out or whatever. You know, it took a lot of guts because they're going to play the Vikings, right?
Yeah.
And so they have a talented wide receiver over there, right? And yet they did it and they said, okay, this is how it's going to work. I don't care who you are. You're not bigger than the team. And maybe that pulled them together. I don't know.
I think that stands up. No matter what, when you tell talent that they've got to sit down, everybody listens. It doesn't matter who it is. I think that you're right, Andy. I think that may have been what we're looking for here when we're trying to figure out from the outside perspective what changed. Maybe it was that. And that seems as clear to me, or it seems like as good of an answer as any. Because it really did seem like to us as watchers of this team that there was a click moment for this team. And it happened at the perfect time. So, you know, going forward. And this San Francisco team, oh, they're world beaters. They're amazing. They are so dominant. Wait a minute, what, their quarterback's down? Okay, wait a second. All right, we got a chance here, everybody. Let's get to the game. Let's check this out. Because that's what happened last year. Brock Purdy, I like the kid. I wish him well. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But last year, that was a weird injury that he took. Those things can happen again. Are you afraid of Brock Purdy as much as you are Sam Darnold? I think that you've got no reason not to keep betting on this team while, like the caller said, having perspective. I wouldn't go buying tickets to, you know, Las Vegas right now to expect a Super Bowl. But it also, they make it to the championship game. It's not going to shock me. It's not. I'm beyond being shocked anymore by this team.
One of the other good comments at halftime was some coach is going to get fired today. Either it's going to be McCarthy for this loss, or it's going to be Joe Barry for the biggest comeback in history.
Wow. I didn't want to go too far down this road, but that is an interesting thing with the Joe Barry situation, where everybody and their mother seems to want him out, and the more they win, the less likely it is that he is going anywhere. And that's, you know, Mike Clemens was telling us a couple weeks ago he's probably not going anywhere, and that was before this playoff victory.
Well, I think we can see the change. He started to, when they get to about midfield, he started to put more pressure on the quarterback. He's gone more into man coverage instead of playing prevent like they did before the half, and then they walked right down the field, and playing prevent at the end of the game where they walked right down the field twice, where that's fine. But when it was on the line the last 2-3 weeks, he's changed the defense.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference too.
Yeah, it goes so much farther.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because with Joel Berry, if he comes back, I would hope that he'll be on a very short leash.
Yeah.
But it just, me, you know, it took till week 15 to figure out, you know, how to play defense, how to call defense. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess I never really did like Joe Barry from the start, you know, from when they hired him. But he obviously probably got his job back.
Yeah.
He just like last year. I mean, last year was the same thing. He went on that run at the end of the year. You know, there was talk that he was going to get fired this season, and all of a sudden something clicked.
I think, and we've kept you a long time, man. I appreciate you hanging on the line with us and everything. Thanks for the call, bud.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. We'll talk next week. I think this is the Packers are not mediocre by any means, but this is a part of what I was talking about last week with the being stuck in mediocrity and the struggle of that. You do just enough to keep your job. You do just enough, you know, and where that leaves you as not only a fan base, but as your team going forward. The Packers, you know, win or lose in San Francisco, it does look like Barry's going to keep his job. And then what happens next year when through week 8, you're fan base is doing this again, and there's still some outcry and everything. Do you hang in there? Do you see what matters? The regular season's great, but it's about winning in the playoffs. And if he shows up in the playoffs as a coach, and that defense shows up in the playoffs, that's what matters. Coach Mike McCarthy would and Dak Prescott would have completely different arcs right now to their career with just one big playoff victory, which is just even showing up one great time. I don't know their playoff records together or anything, but I know it ain't good. And I know it's a losing record. This one win, say the worst happens with Green Bay. They don't make the playoffs for a year or two. This victory yesterday, that victory, you can ride that. LaFleur can ride that. I don't know if his assistants can or anything like that, but that's a good enough contract. You're going to have to pay Jordan Love now. You're going to have to pay him. And you're going to be paying him that contract that Dak Prescott just got.
Right.
It's going to be extremely similar to that. And that's going to, you know, kind of hold things up a little bit as far as being able to sign certain players and everything. But who cares? You got the quarterback. That's what matters.
Because there's like 10 of them in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen it time and time again. How many, we've talked about this ad nauseum already, how many quarterbacks, two, third stringers are playing this year, right? And if you got a top one and he stays healthy, boy, they're going to give him the big bucks.
This kid in his first playoff game gave you a darn near flawless game, gave you an opportunity to lean on the run. Which is so important in these playoffs, and no matter if you're playing in a dome or not, you need a running game. You've got two thoroughbreds back there, one of them with quads the size of Ricky Henderson. So being able to lean on that and that actually working, and I haven't heard anybody say this yet, and I was really waiting to see. And I know that our audience is smart. I know you know this, Randy, but that offensive line. Let's give some credit to that offensive line.
Right.
There's no way this kid or that running game looks like it does without that offensive line showing up, and they have been impressive. Let's take a call before our break. Good afternoon. You're on Playmakers.
Yeah, I got some couple things to say. One thing, I am disappointed that the game's on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the hot stove event, and I'm a baseball person mostly. But I do have to give a comment about Jordan. I think that they got a steal when they got him. He's awesome.
Yeah,
I think he's going to be a better long-range passer than Aaron was.
I would love to see that. And the kid's got everything. Like, you watch certain plays he does. He had a throw off his back foot in that Minnesota game. That if you couldn't see the jersey number, looked like Aaron. Looked like Aaron. It looked exactly like it. And Seth said something this morning. It was like the first or second thing he said to me. He's like, boy, isn't it great to have a Packers quarterback press conference and it be boring? It's not that the kid isn't exciting, doesn't have charisma or anything like that. It's not like it was, the last 10, 15 years where the quarterback of that team was. It's a little different, the press conferences right now. Jordan goes up there and he sounds like an NFL quarterback. He's telling you the basics. Yeah.
And he sounds like a guy. Aaron Jones is talking about how they go over to his house, they hang out, they got some food, they play some pool, they watch some film.
This is a kid. He's just a young man.
Just a guy. That's
There's a lot to root for there.
You can
throw the ball through a tire at 40 yards.
Yeah.
But two defenders around him. I see him do that already, like 30, 40 yards, and right there on the spot.
Yeah.
He's
going to be a better long range.
I like that. I like that take. I like that.
That's saying something about a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I think one of the exciting things about Jordan Love, about this whole conversation, he's just getting started.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
You just hope it just continues, right?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, sir. Yep. You have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks. Yeah.
Randy, I wanted to start our whole show with the Detroit Lions winning their first playoff game in 30 years.
Well, we started that whole thing 3 summers ago.
We did. Thank you.
We take full credit.
We take complete credit. Yeah. Dan Campbell, second. Yeah. I'd say second on the list.
I show you the letter we got of thanks?
I think that this, they talk about this in sports a lot of times. When this team does good, it's good for the NFL. When the New York Knicks are good, it's good for basketball. When the Lakers and Boston are good, blah, blah, blah. I don't agree with any of that. What I do agree with, though, when the Detroit Lions win a playoff game, that's good for the NFL. That's good for fans of the NFL. I don't know many people outside of us here in the Midwest that play against Detroit or something like that can't root for that team, that can't be excited for that team, for that fan base. You know, it's different when we play them. I understand that. But as far as it goes, I don't know. I'm excited for them. I'm pulling for them. I like to see them do well in these playoffs. I was really happy to see that victory go the way it did for Detroit and that fan base, considering the way that the Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff story started.
Right.
And it looked like Detroit's in a rebuilding year. Oh, they need a quarterback. Oh, this, oh, that. The Rams are going to be okay. Sean McVay is awesome. Right. I'd kill to have Sean McVay as my coach. But with the Detroit, like, man, this has been pretty cool. They backed Jared Goff, and Jared Goff stuck by them and backed them and did pretty darn good by them. They have an old school kind of way of playing this game, while also, hey, we got everything I was saying about Green Bay in these playoffs. Detroit's been doing this since Dan Campbell got there. We got nothing to lose. We're playing with house money.
Right.
Almost every game, it seems like that. I don't know of many coaches that I see them in a press conference or I see them talk in their worst moment, their best moment. It doesn't matter. I want to play for that guy. I would suit up right now, and I would get destroyed, and I'd be in a hospital for the next year just going out there on special teams kick return or something like that, just as a flyer, just running down there or something like that. But I do it because it's Dan Campbell, and he just makes you want to play that way.
The other fun thing after tonight, either the NFC East or the NFC South is going to be represented, Tampa Bay or the Eagles. The West is represented by San Francisco. And, oh, by the way, the NFC Central has two teams in the playoffs of four.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute, too.
It's awesome. It's wonderful. Just pick up where Randy was talking there. In the AFC, the lineup for the playoffs this coming week in the divisional round, Saturday, January 20th, as our caller told us, there'll be games for Green Bay. AFC-wise, Houston is going to be either at Baltimore or Kansas City at 4:30. NFC at 7 o'clock, Green Bay at San Francisco on Fox. And on Sunday, you'll have either Philly or Tampa Bay at Detroit. That'll be at 3 o'clock on Peacock or NBC and Peacock. And in the AFC, at 6:30, you'll have either Kansas City at Buffalo or Pittsburgh at Baltimore. That'll again be on, that game will be on CBS.
And the other fun thing was that they were showing the Packers game at the Lions game as they were waiting to play theirs, and everybody's just cheering like crazy for the Packers. Because if Detroit won, they'd have another home game.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah. It's an exciting lineup. One last note before we go to break. The Dolphins-Chiefs game, on Peacock set a record for the most watched event on a streaming service. Going into that, everybody I know, including myself, said that this was a foolish idea to have a playoff game on a streaming service. And everybody went to Peacock.
Everybody kicked in $6.
Yep. Yeah, everybody went and did it. Now you are never going to see the end of this.
Nope.
It's only going to get more and more like this. You are never going to have serious playoff games. Not that any of these games aren't serious, but you know, we're talking AFC, NFC championship games, Super Bowl. That's never going to be on a streaming service alone. But you're going to see this kind of stuff in Monday Night Football and those things on streaming services more and more.
They opened up the box, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did. When we come back, I was talking about coaches that you would play for, that you'd run through, We got one coming up, everybody. Live and direct. The fourth period comes up in just a few minutes. GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, joining us in just a few right here on WFHR's Playmakers.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR. And on the Civic Media app.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents, kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations from silly to serious that built a foundation over time. Honest conversations, like when my dad shared his experiences as an alcoholic.
Your honesty about that part of your life gave me a sense of integrity that I wanted to uphold in my own life. And I was so grateful that you and Mom had become these sober, stable people who were always there for me.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Arctic blast is slapping us with some brutal cold temperatures, with highs today feeling more like 15 below. Again this evening, a wind chill advisory goes into effect. As winds gust up to 25 miles per hour, it's making it feel anywhere from 20 below to 30 below, which can cause frostbite rapidly. Right now, it's 3 degrees.
Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers. For this January 15th, 2024, 3:30 on the clock, I have your host, James J. I am joined by Randy Paul.
Good afternoon, everyone, and what a great day it is.
Yeah, we want to say a big shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here at Wisconsin Rapids, sponsoring the show, and a big, big thank you to Coach Paul Peckham with the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, joining us as he does whenever he can. He's in town, and we can start the fourth period and talking a little bit of River Kings hockey. Coach, you brought a friend in.
I did. I have SJ O'Comp with us today.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. Appreciate
Thank
the time.
Having...
And the best news about SJ, he's a Packer fan.
Found that out in the break here. That was great. I want to talk about the games this weekend in a second. But man, if you don't mind, let's get to know you a little bit, bud. Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Right.
Port Monmouth, New Jersey. So it's like Central Jersey. I know people say there's no such thing, but there's Central Jersey.
Actually, I'm a big John Stewart fan, and I know he's from out there. And I think that's that. He said something like that before.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like a big thing over there where people just say it's not a thing. It's either north or south, but yeah. It's definitely the middle part.
Right on. You guys, big hockey area over there?
Yeah, we have a lot of local teams, and then we have like the big tier two team, a couple of NCDC teams around, but the big main team is the New Jersey Titans Null team. So
yeah, great history for that team too.
Yeah, it's known for a lot of players moving up to D1, and I mean, it's getting a little bit of a bad rap now, but it has a lot of good players that came from it, and it's drawn a lot of hockey throughout my local town, so that's nothing wrong with that.
The other thing we are always interested in is, how did you get drawn here to Wisconsin Rapids?
Mm-hmm. So, if I'm going to be completely honest, it was Jude Ayling. He was my billet brother from last year.
Okay.
And I also played with two kids, Justin Davis and Jameer Wasil, who's on the team a couple years ago prior to last year, and my old coach, but it was mostly just Jude. And Jude, I wanted to be with him again because he was the best thing that ever, like my best first billet brother. Like,
right
he was
on.
Always there for me when everything what happened with the Spud Kings
and
everything.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be there and have fun with him for my last year and just go out with a big bang, win a ring with him. That's all I wanted.
So what are your first impressions so far, having been here for a couple of months now?
It's great. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better with the support of the local community and like Grace's with Miss Kelly, and then obviously with the work Coach Paul helped me commit to college and stuff like that. So,
what is it that got you into hockey?
My mom.
Yeah.
Because my dad was a big football guy, so my mom, she was always the hockey guy. She played goalie growing up, and then she just sat me in front of the TV when the Rangers were playing. That's why I'm from New Jersey, big Ranger fan.
Right on.
I get that question all the time.
Yeah, I was gonna pry, but yeah.
That's why, because I just sat in front of the TV.
Gotcha.
As a little kid, watching the Rangers play, watching Lundqvist play, and
when you were growing, some of the players
Dan
you got,
Girardi, I picked my number after Chris Kreider, so
right on,
I mean, my original number was number 10. That was my first year ever playing. That's Marion Gaborik. He's like one of my favorite Rangers.
Another
ever.
Good one, yeah.
And then Chris Kreider, I love his game. I mean,
right on, so. Very cool. We'll talk more with you before we wrap up here, Bub. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben.
Coach, up and down weekend for you guys, taking on the Chicago Rush. First off, the schedule changed on you with Mother Nature doing what she does. Nobody stops Mother Nature. She is the queen of everything, and we just follow her lead.
She wins every time, right?
Yeah. There's no going to overtime with Mother Nature. That don't happen. First off, how does that change things for your team? Hockey, one of the things I learned from my dad, routine, and just such a huge part of the game. Throws off the routine a little bit. How did the team handle it? How did you guys adapt?
Well, I think we handled it pretty well. I mean, we still had our skate in the morning and a pregame skate, and we went through, we just kind of took a little bit easier and, you know, wanted guys to stay home with the weather the way it was, right?
Yeah,
so stay home, get some rest, eat well, and just prepare, you know, I mean, just get mentally prepared, and then we go into tomorrow, which was Saturday now, right, for the first game, you know, have some meetings and talk about things that we want to attack and hopefully come out.
That Saturday game, the River Kings lose to the Chicago Crush in overtime, 1-0. 45 shots on goal for our Kings, 33 for the Crush. So I bring up those shots on goal for a reason, because I want to get to Sunday's game. What do you take from that game right there? That Saturday game, the one on the loss.
It was 3-2.
It was 3-2. What did I say? Oh, I said 1-0. I'm sorry. The 3-2. What do you take from that game, sir?
Well, I thought, obviously, you got to like the shots is something that we preach about a lot. You know what I mean? We got to get the puck to the net. We don't score a lot of goals, per se, so it's very important that we got to throw the puck to the net. We got to get bodies in front of the net. I thought we did a great job with that. Once we got going, which again, you know, you don't score for 40 minutes and all of a sudden it's the third period now and things are tight and everybody's gripping their stick a little bit tighter. And then we're fortunate enough to come in a situation where SJ ties it up with 30 seconds left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you get a point at something where you really may not have deserved it, right? You get it. Well, now you go for two. And then we get a stupid penalty with 10 seconds left in the game, and that puts us behind the eight ball. And so what do you take from that? Well, we shook up the lineup pretty good for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So certain guys didn't dress. They didn't deserve it, and certain guys did. And so we mixed things up a little bit here, and everybody understood that they had jobs to do, and if they wanted to compete, now's the time. You know, the opportunities arise when guys are sick, guys do stupid stuff, guys get hurt, things like that create opportunities for other guys that may not get as many as they think they should. So now's the time to take advantage of it, and some guys did.
Looking at Sunday's game, coming in, I'm sure wanting to get it that getting not only points, get that W. Especially you're not going to be at home for another week. You know, you're going to be on the road this week, coming weekend. So the River Kings come in and we end up winning that one 5-2 over the Crush. 33 shots on goal for our Kings, not bad. 49 shots on goal for the Crush. Rough to look at that. Not only. As somebody who loves defense and everything, but that young goalie, like that young man, Seth comes in this morning and I'm talking to him, and the first thing he wants to talk about is your goalie and how amazing that last couple of minutes was. Just incredible work by that defense, by that goalie, just nice work. Let's talk about that performance a little bit. Let's talk about that game a little, Coach.
Jude played unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was, and that's why he was the number one star, right? I mean, he just... again, he's got a couple of schools that are looking at him and evaluating his games, and he just stepped it up, and that's exactly what he needed and what we needed from him. You know, it's nice that now you get a couple goals, right? So we scored the first goal of the game. We get one, which we're not accustomed to, right? So all of a sudden now you're up 5-1, and now you sit back a little bit, right? And then you get a couple penalties, and a lot of those were on power play, power plays and things like that. Right? It was a 5-on-3, I believe, at one point. So, and Jude did what he needed to do, right? That's what big players need to show up at big time, and he did his job. I'm proud of him.
At a perfect time, too. We have got, it's go time. As it has been for weeks now, really a month now. It's felt playoff like with this. When you're sitting in third, fourth spot in the standings, and with the playoffs being what they are, that's a little bit too close for comfort, I'm sure. You want to get into that number two if you can, that number one spot, certainly. Just in case our audience out there isn't familiar with the USPHL and how the playoffs work, the top four teams in each division make the playoffs. The higher seed, the two high teams get the home playoff games, right?
Or top eight.
Top eight, okay.
Top four get the home ice in the first round.
Right. Thank you, Coach. Thank you. So we've got, with that in mind, we're going to visit the guys right above us in the standings this weekend. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, they're a good team. I mean, they score a lot of goals. They're an offensive heavy. They're probably polar opposite of us.
I was going to ask.
They're very offensive heavy. Mm-hmm. They give up a lot of goals. They take a lot of penalties, right? So they're very talented. So if you're not paying attention, and we're not playing the game that we know how to play, they're gonna smack you in the mouth. So we've got to be prepared this week.
When it comes to playing a team that is a bit different than you, do you go in there and like, this is our game plan? We're gonna play our game. We're not gonna adapt to their game. How do you balance that with also being able to adapt to their game?
Well, we'll adjust our game plan.
Adjust your game. Gotcha.
To who we're playing.
Right on. Right?
So that's the way we're going to talk about it, and we're going to go through it this mm-hmm. week. And it's the internal stuff that we talk about, right, the compete level mm-hmm. and battling and how do we attack and certain like that under the structure that we're going to use to play against that team. That's the way we go about it, right?
So it's always kind of interesting. You know, we know what happens during the games. Obviously, come and watch. But what's mm-hmm. going to happen now Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week for your squad?
What's tomorrow?
Battle day, the biggest day of the week.
Right on. So what's battle day?
Battle day is just...
The best day.
It's just banging.
You got to love that from a hockey kid, right?
I love it. That's awesome. You remind me of my dad, man. That's, yeah. Right now, he's thinking the same thing. Like, yeah.
Usually Mondays are, we're just getting back in, right? Sundays are usually the days off. So Mondays is a lot of flow drills. Just let's get the legs going again and doing all that, warming everybody up. And then Tuesday is battle day. And it's just... You know,
yeah,
all elbows and we're grinding and we're very physical. A lot of one-on-ones, two-on-twos, yeah. Just grinding it out and getting prepared in that mindset. Wednesdays is more into zone works, defensive zone, neutral zone, offensive zone, you know, breakouts, entries, that kind of stuff. And then Thursdays is more special teams, power plays, penalty killing, lighten it up a little bit. And a lot of small games in between, keep guys, energized and that kind of stuff, and competitive, and, you know, see who does what during the course of the week. And, you know, a lot of that depends on whether or not they're playing on Friday or Saturday.
Do you head over to Minnesota then on Friday?
Yeah, Friday morning we'll leave. We usually leave here about 11, get there about 2, get in the hotel. We'll have our pregame meal, that kind of stuff, and get to the rink by 5, warm up 6:30.
Right on.
Sure.
Your River Kings are sitting in third in the standings, right behind Minnesota and Hudson. We are looking to change that after the next time Coach joins us. Looking forward to this weekend. This weekend, the River Kings games playing on this Friday and Saturday against the Minnesota squad. You're going to be up there in Minnesota taking on these games. We're going to be there with you, though, in spirit, Coach. And looking forward to talking next week more with you guys. Before we let you go, I want to remind everybody that our River Kings have a fundraiser going on. We are looking to raise funds to help our facility over at the USP, over at the Southwick County Rec Center, looking for a couple of things to help make the facility better, make it more hockey friendly, make it more ours, make it more of ours, and more of a River Kings centric, if you will, and skating centric, and looking forward to being able to do more and more with that and with you guys. I encourage you to go to riverkingshockey.com, find out more, and find out ways that you can help our River Kings build hockey up and down the river. Coach, and man, thank you so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate the time. You keep on bringing players or coaches. This is great. Yeah, we love this. Yeah. You guys take care and safe travels this weekend, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Playmakers, brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. SmileTrain is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The Arctic blast is slapping us with some brutal cold temperatures, with highs today feeling more like 15 below. Again this evening, a wind chill advisory goes into effect. As winds gust up to 25 miles per hour, it's making it feel anywhere from 20 below to 30 below, which can cause frostbite rapidly. Right now, it's 3 degrees.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here, Wisconsin Rapids. Got Randy and James here with him before we get into some local coverage. Big thank you again to CJ, to Coach Paul, for joining us in our fourth period. That was a lot of fun talking with them. Help the River Kings build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com and support this team. Looking forward to talking with Coach again real soon.
Isn't it always fun to see what the thought pattern and how things develop in one's life and how they get over here to Rapids? And that's so much fun.
I love when he's bringing these players in and getting so much of the look behind the curtain. It's so much fun. We love it.
Where else but here?
Exactly. Only here. Only on Playmakers, baby. And only here can you get the great local coverage that we're able to give you. Randy's got that for us. What do you have, bud?
Well, for boys high school basketball, it's kind of a limited schedule with Tuesday and Friday being canceled school-wise, but there were a few games that were played, and one took place in the Valley, the Battle for Wausau. They didn't have quite as much snow up there on Tuesday. As East improves to 11-2, they throttled 3 Dubs 90-52. Lincoln High School will be back in action from the Fieldhouse tomorrow night, as they will be taking on Antigo as they will come to town. From Merriwood South, Marathon, ranked number 2, Division 4, improves to 12-0 as they hand Auburndale their first conference loss, 60-39. Caden Anderson had 11 points to lead the Eagles. Stratford steps out of conference to beat Black River Falls, 58-38. And Edgar knocked off Newman, 66-42. And speaking of the Cards, they'll host Assumption tomorrow evening. Over in the CWC South, last Thursday, Port Edwards got a big road win over Pittsville, 61-51. The Blackhawks were led in scoring by Josh Tranel with 24 points. Logan Parker had 16, and Brendan Beck added 11. While for the Panthers, Logan Zickert led the way with 15. Dawson Luther threw down a 12. Ben Friday contributed 11. Almond Bancroft is ranked number 7 in Division 5. They're 11-1, and they pounded Pacelli 69-30. Pacelli, they'll be at Port Edwards tomorrow night.
So that's a score right there.
Yeah, they lost their best player that Aoi got with an injury, and so they've been down ever since. And speaking of a down in the South Central, Nakusa fell at Wautoma 78-55. The Papermakers will be at Athens tonight. Mauston was 9 better than Westfield, 56-47. And the Dells demolished the Green Devils of Adams Friendship, 73 to 26. Girls high school basketball action in the Valley on Tuesday. The only game played this week, Wausau West won over Wausau East 51-44, so kind of turning the tables from boys to girls. Wisconsin Rapids, they'll travel up to Mosinee tomorrow night. From the Merriwood South on Monday, in a game you heard on our sister station, top-ranked Assumption defeated number 10 in Division 4 Neillsville 52-44. Some say it was maybe the first time in 19, 20 years. Some were saying maybe the first time ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great game. Addie Vollard knocks down 18. Jordan J. Glinski threw in 16. On Thursday, the Royals, now 13-0, knocked off Newman 64-34. Stratford upset Auburndale in overtime 58-52. Maya Katzenberger had 18 for the Eagles. And Edgar was 13 better than Marathon 50-37. The Wildcats will come to Assumption tomorrow night. No games were played in the Central Wisconsin South. The Port Edwards Blackhawks host Marion this evening. And down in the South Central on Thursday, Nakusa fell to Wautoma 71-27, and Westfield improves to 12-3 with a 47-34 win over Mauston. Four games were canceled this past week, or postponed, or rescheduled, as was the game with three dubs from Thursday to Monday, January 22nd. Tomorrow night, Wisconsin Rapids will host the Merrill East Co-op at 7 o'clock. And as we already talked, things got moved back a day with the River Kings losing in overtime to the Crush 3-2, and then winning last night 5-2. They'll be in Minnesota for games on Friday and Saturday. And the Bucks, as we were talking a little bit off air, what a great finish to that game yesterday. Ooh. They missed, what was it, I think Sacramento missed three free throws right at the end of the game, and then Bucks got back in it, and then Dame knocks one out. He just barely got over half court, threw it up, and was fading to his left and splashed it home at the buzzer, and they won 143-142 in overtime. Lillard had 29, Giannis 27, Michael Beasley 23, Bobby Portis 22, Brooke Lopez 17, Cameron Payne 15. So we're talking six guys in double digits. Well, you're getting 143 points. You got to have a lot of scoring somewhere. So it was good win for the Bucks.
They certainly got to take a look at that defense. You know, nobody wins championships in any sport without defense. So that's certainly something that you wanted to get fixed there in Milwaukee. But it you can do that. You don't have to worry about defense as much when you score 140 some points. And it's incredible, man.
And they've been doing that a lot this year.
And this team is on a similar path that the Green Bay Packers have been on. There's been some ups and downs. There's been some questions about the coaching staff. There's been this and that. And as they're rolling, and we're not even in the midway point of the NBA season, of course. There's a lot of games to be played here. But if you look at it timeline-wise in comparison with the NFL schedule, they are right on the pace of things where you'd want them to be. This is a team that isn't built to win, in 3 or 4 years from now. This is a team to win this year, to win next year. That's the way this team is built. So they are in the playoffs. As far as the Giannis and Dame and them, Giannis has already got a title and he's as hungry as they get. Think about how hungry Damian Lillard is. He's been waiting for this literally his whole life, for this opportunity to be on a team that has a championship possibilities.
Yeah, you think about the same thing with the NFL as you were alluding to, and they're about the midway point of the season. And one of the things, halfway through the Packers season, we're just kind of like, oh, boy, we're going to struggle a little bit because it's early in his career, and then we hit our stride. The other thing that's huge, like right now, Engambari, I think, tore his ACL, so he's out for the year. Yeah. That was kind of sad. But otherwise, hopefully Jair's okay with his ankle. I know he hurt that during the game, but they got out of that game pretty much unscathed again otherwise. In the last couple of games, that happened with the Bears as well and the Vikings. There were times they lost seven guys in a game.
Yeah.
To be healthy now at this time of year is huge. Yeah. And that's the same thing with the Bucks. It's fun right now and you have these great games up and down. But when it comes to the bottom line, you got to be healthy when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with Giannis. Don't give him too many minutes. Played way too many yesterday.
Yeah.
Dame played almost the whole game. They're being very cautious with Middleton.
Yeah.
So they're watching that as well. The other thing I was thinking about, if just go back to the Packers for a quick second, was people are like, we're the seventh seed, and it's the first time a seventh seed has won. Well, it's only been going on for 4 years that they've been 17, so it's not that huge of statistics. But the other thing that I think was important was that it reminds me of that 2010 team, not that they're going to win the Super Bowl or anything. They could, but not that they're going to. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that team was built for not playing in Lambeau, actually. They were built, they went to Philadelphia. It was a nice day, and they won. they just destroyed Atlanta in the dome that year. It was like 48-20 something.
I remember that game.
Yeah. Then they had the cold one in Chicago. But would the Packers have done this well?
I don't remember the Chicago game.
Sorry.
I don't remember that at all.
B.J. Rogers, I'm picking.
Your brain protects you from pain sometimes.
Right. but you think about, would they have been able to light it up yesterday in a frigid, cold weather game? Yeah. You think how it was with Kansas City and Miami. I mean, Tua wasn't able to do anything, basically.
Yeah.
Would they have the same success if they had played that game in Green Bay? We saw what the Giants did to Green Bay when they had some great teams. They came to Green Bay and they beat Favre and they beat Rodgers. So, you know, there's no guarantee if you play at home and just ask Dallas.
You're right. Yeah. And there's probably going to be an upset this weekend, too. You know, who knows? It's weird for me to think of. I'm glad you brought up the 7 seed, 1 seed, a lot of that stuff and everything, Randy, too. Because to me, what do we always say about the playoffs in any sport? Well, throw out the record books. None of it matter. So why do we continue to talk? Like, there are no upsets in the playoffs. All these teams made the playoffs. All these teams are good. It's the order of wins and losses vary so much. We all know that a team is completely different from week one than they are to week 18.
Think about 5 weeks ago.
Right.
Who was the best team in all of football? Mm. The Eagles.
Yep.
And then what they go out and they lose like four out of their last five.
Yeah. You want to crown them? Crown them.
Yeah.
You're so right about this. Yeah. Everybody was ready to crown Philly like a month ago, it seemed like.
And now it's going to be Baltimore against San Francisco, done deal.
Now, by this time next week, Coach Belichick could be coaching Philadelphia. Like, I mean, that's how crazy this stuff is and how quick it changes. I do this all the time, Randy, and I can't help myself. I love talking sports with you and especially our local teams. Our national local teams, but I do want to take a moment to talk local with you. And you know these Assumption teams better than most. And we've had we've been spoiled so much. We've had such good teams. This team right now, what stands out to you about them right now? Is there a difference from years before? Is there something that stands out to you about them, especially considering they've had some injuries and everything?
Yeah, you know, losing the Dillman girl, that really hurt, you know, with the depth. That's the one thing. But the big thing they'll have to survive is foul trouble, you know, because you go 20-minute halves instead of quarters, you know, so you can't pull a girl out 2 minutes, give her a break, get that 4-minute rest. Maybe sometimes you get a little tired and you pick up kind of a reach foul that you get. And then you get in foul trouble. They're not real deep. Mm-hmm. That right now they were doing an 8-girl rotation. Now it's down to 7, basically. So that would be the one area. But the high point of it is they are so unselfish. Mm. Oh my goodness, it's just like tic tac toe. You know, they just, as they come down the court, you know, they're always looking for that extra pass, and it's working for them. And you know, you look at the leading scorer on the season, Sarah Shaw. Well, the other night she ended up with 4 or 6 points when they played Neillsville. Didn't care. You know, she's still out there playing so solid, that defense and the way they trap so hard. And Coach Klein was talking to me a little bit about that in our pregame interview, and just talking about, you know, you can't worry about fouls. You know, you just got to play, right?
Yeah.
And they don't. They play hard. And that's one of the things, those two things really stand out, is that they play hard, they play unselfish, and that if they can stay out of foul trouble, they got a real good chance.
Very excited about this team. Very excited to see how they progress throughout the season. Looking forward to that. We're going to be covering it for you, of course, right here, not only with Randy's notes and here on Playmakers, but we've got great high school action on the radio dial throughout the weekend, throughout the week here, into the weekend. Looking at our schedule right now for tomorrow on WFHR right here, Wisconsin men's basketball at Penn State. 7 o'clock, our pregame will start off. Big Ten basketball, you've got me.
They're in first place in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Number 11 in the country. Our Badgers. And they're scoring.
Cool. And then they're scoring. I'm so glad you said that. And they're scoring. It's kind of a fun offense to watch, actually.
It is.
And Wednesday at 6 o'clock, our pregame will kick off Milwaukee Bucks at Cleveland. God, that feels good to say. Bucks basketball on WFHR. Yeah. Ooh, cool, that feels good. Thursday on WFHR, the Great Guard Show at 6:05. On Friday, more men's basketball. Your Badgers are going to be hosting Indiana at the Kohl Center. It's going to be a good one. On WIRI at 6:50, our pregame will kick off for good high school boys basketball. Almond Bancroft at Port Edwards. Michael and Seth going to cover that one. Should be a good game.
Port's on a nice little run, too, and we're going to have them not just Friday, but a following Monday as well, we hope.
That's right. On Saturday, more Bucks basketball at Detroit at 1:30. Oof. I don't know. That's going to go for Detroit fans. That's going to be rough. On Monday, we'll talk about all of this on Playmakers right in this time slot at 5:30 on Monday. Bucks basketball at Detroit. And then, of course, as Randy said, 6:50 WIRI, Port Edwards at Northern Lutheran. Randy and Seth going to run that one for us.
Should be fun. It's always good to go up there and see the Wildcats as well.
Also want to remind everybody of some hot stove action going on with our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. They got their hot stove event back. We're so excited for this. Coming up this Saturday, January 20th, 6 to 10. This will take place over at the Hotel Mead. One of our callers is going to be there.
Can't wait
we
to
encourage
get there.
You to,
right.
too. You can get your tickets and support your Rafters at northwoodsleague.com, northwoodsleague.com. We've only got a minute or so left, but we're going to go ahead and chance and take a call. You're on the air. What you got?
Two quick things for you, fellas. Buffalo Bills are up 7-0, and don't forget, Pete Rose played for the Expos. Have a good one.
Great call. In and out. Nicely done, man.
Did.
Nicely done. I forgot all about that.
I can see him in an Expos
as
uniform.
As soon as he said yes. that popped in my head.
Right?
That, oh, wow, I forgot all about
that.
Got
that visual.
Nice call, man. Nicely done. And I did not see the update on the score of that game.
Yeah,
that's
that game
interesting.
Started a half hour ago, too.
The fact that they're playing that game, the fact that they pulled that off, that is
incredible.
Did you
see the pictures of that?
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't even see in the stadium. They had a camera in there. It was nuts.
They're still looking for parts of Patrick Mahomes' helmet. Like, the weather this week was insane, and none of it took place with Green Bay, and none of it involved Green Bay.
Yeah.
None of it involved them. Actually, none of it involved Green Bay, Chicago, or Detroit. Like, none of our cold teams.
Or even Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, we knew we knew that wasn't
going to be. I should just say,
and we kind of knew Chicago wasn't going to be either, too, though. Let's be honest. I knew. Great show. Thank you so much to the best callers in radio. We appreciate all of you. My partner in sports, Randy, thank you so much for the great work you do.
So good to be here.
Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll have more playing.